You're listening to RTI.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken. It's a funny morning, isn't it? Talking blackbirds and all sorts. That's what it's like when this unholy time. I don't very often see it. Hearken, there's a gentle wind down below. I'm partial to a bit of wind in the morning. And the rain. Listen to the rain. It's falling like an ailing prostrate. Oh, really, honestly. It's the kind of morning when an Englishman should get out and polish his Bentley. Or he should get out into the garden and trim his bushes. Wave to his neighbours and call out, "Look, everybody, I'm trimming my bushes." I'm not very good in the mornings, ladies and gentlemen. What time is it, Petra? Petra?
I'm not here. She's here. It's way too early to be here and paying attention to.
See what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? We've specially got up in the middle of the night to do this show just for you.
But I must admit, your voice is so sexy this time early in the morning.
My voice is really sexy in the morning.
Yes, we should do it more often this way.
It's like napalm in the morning.
No.
Shall we get up then?
Surely, yes.
Yeah, just kisses on the cheek, not on the bottom. Morning breath is worse than tea breath, you know. God, honestly. I suppose we'd better get on with it, hadn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here you are, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to start. It's that wonderful, wacky world of Postcard from Poprad with me, Lee G. Banks, sitting on the zit on the face of the universe, that place called Merry Old England. And in Paris, a doo-doo. The man who likes to talk about doggy droppings. Mr. Nobody. It's too early for Mark to get up. He's not here. He's very sensible. And in that famous town of Poprad, where the hills have eyes, it's that Eric Wiltshire, who's too lazy to get up and do the show at this time in the morning. So it's me and Petra.
Exactly. We're the good ones this week.
We are the good boys, aren't we?
Well, I'm not actually a boy, but yes, I'm a good one. I'm better than you, you know. I got up earlier.
When did you get up?
I can't tell you.
Why can't you tell me? What did you do when you got up? What do you do in the morning when you get up? Do you have a stretch? Do you have a yawn?
No, come on, get out of this.
Okay, so let's get on with the show. Talking about early morning wind, let's go to Real Gone Kids. And we're talking about Alex Karras. Petra, I can't talk. I've lost the power of speech in the morning.
No, you're doing well. Come on.
Thank you. Alex Karras, very sad. He's the chap who played Mongo in Blazing Saddles. Do you remember that film? The one that was famous for the trumping scene.
You asking me?
Well, there's nobody else. Eric and Mark are still in bed.
So my answer is no, I don't remember.
You never saw the film Blazing Saddles?
I don't think so.
What would it be called in Slovak?
No idea.
What's the word for blazing?
Don't know.
What's the word for on fire?
I don't know. Sorry, don't too know early in the morning to translate.
You don't know what the word for on fire is in Slovak.
No way I know. I only speak English.
What is it? What is it?
Oheň.
Oheň?
Oheň. Mm-hmm.
Oheň. Oheň. And what's the word for saddle? That's the thing you put on the back of a horse to sit on.
Sedlo.
Sadlop?
Mm-hmm.
Oheň Sadlop. Have you ever seen the film Oheň Sadlop?
No.
Well, anyway, the star of it, Alex Karras, who played Mongo, has died at really the age of 77.
Bye-bye, Mongo.
And Alex. Right, so now we're going to move on to actually what is a good story. Finally, the man who wants to let us in the UK build tower blocks in our own back gardens without any planning permission, and who could do a U-turn in an HGV, finally has come up with something which seems like a good idea. And he's now decided that Britain will actually mark 100 years since the outbreak of the First World War. David Cameron has unveiled plans for a National Day of Remembrance. Well, we actually do have National Days of Remembrance, David. I'm not sure if you realise that. We've had them forever. But actually, the plans that you've got and you've given to the nation to celebrate or to mark, not celebrate, to mark the fact that it's 100 years since the First World War happened is quite good. He's David Cameron has revealed what are described as ambitious £50 million plans of events and education projects to be held in 2014. Actually, you know what? That's only a pound ahead, less than a pound ahead, that we're dedicating to the war heroes from the First World War. People who gave their lives in what was supposed to be the war to end all wars and was woefully didn't do that in any way, shape or form. But that doesn't detract from the people who went out there and fought in the trenches, in the ditches, in the mire, in the mud, the people who went there. And David Cameron has actually dedicated about 75p per person to marking the 100 years of that war. Good on him for doing it, for thinking of it. But he's going to send students all over the world to the battlefields to learn about wartime experiences, the things that people actually suffered, and be able to bring it back to the local communities. Not going to get very far on 75p a head, are they, though? And he says he defended the spending by saying the Great War was a fundamental part of our national consciousness. Well, I think that it should be a fundamental part of our national consciousness, and we should never forget about it. We have a lot of forces people who listen to this show, and I'm sure that they would are proud of the people who all that time ago went to war to protect our nation. That's my little rant on that. Now let's move on to the Navy. Yeah, the Navy. The British Navy. British fishermen called for help after a clash with the French over scallops. Do people actually eat scallops? Have you ever had a scallop, Petra?
No. I like fish food, but I never tried scallops, no.
What is a scallop? Do you know what a scallop is?
I do.
Do you? What is it? Tell me. Because I've always wanted to have scallops. And I have never, in all my venerable age, in all the 43 years I've been on this earth, I have never, ever had a scallop.
But why?
I don't know, because it's like there's a perfume.
You know, you live near the sea, so why can't you just have it?
I live in the Midlands.
Yeah, I know, but you still have a sea around, you know. It's not like me in the middle of Europe.
No, the Midlands is called the Midlands because it's in the middle of the land.
Okay, but you go to seaside and you can have it. I have to travel a lot.
What? Who?
I have to travel a long distance to go to seaside.
Yeah. Well, how far is the sea from you then?
I think the nearest one is about 1,000 kilometres.
1,000? Get lost! Yeah. 1,000 kilometres?
Well, Croatian Sea, yeah.
The which sea?
Croatia. You know, from Croatia.
Croatian Sea. That's where all the shells are, isn't it?
I don't know. Are there?
Croatia. That's 1,000 kilometres from you. That's a long way. Do you go on your motorbike?
No. I went further away on my motorbike.
Why? Where do you go on your motorbike? Do you go to the seaside on your motorbike?
Yeah, Romania.
Romania?
Mm-hmm.
How far is Romania? Has Romania got a sea?
Yes. It's 1,500 kilometres away.
So that's two seas you've got.
Yeah.
And then you could go to the sea in Italy.
Yes, that's true.
You could go to the sea in...
Bulgaria.
Bavaria?
Bulgaria.
Bulgaria.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, there are so many around us, but I still have to travel a lot. I mean, how far is it from your place to the seaside?
I don't know, because nobody ever takes me. It's like, I suppose the closest seaside is, yeah, you're right, it's about 80 miles maximum.
Yeah,
which
you
is what, like 100
you're
kilometers.
Lazy. Every Saturday, Sunday, I would just go down there and have a walk on the beach. Romantic yeah. one.
A romantic walk on the beach
yeah.
by yourself?
No. I will pick up a man there.
You're so naughty.
I know.
Anyway.
That's my second name. Naughty.
What, Petra Naughty?
Yeah.
Well, can't say that. Anyway, right, yeah, no, we're doing news here. We're supposed to be a grown-up news programme.
Oh, okay, back to scallops, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, back to the scallops. You have to have vinegar on your scallops, don't you?
English people do, yeah.
What do Slovak people put on
I don't
on
know.
That?
I don't know how they eat them.
With garlic?
No idea.
With... We must find out. Anyway, listen, this is important. This is an important news story, right? British fishing boats, right, have been attacked by the French off Normandy. And, right, and the big, tough British people got so upset that they had to call the Navy to come in and protect them. I think that's really scary. There were 40, actually, it is a bit scary, you know, because there were 12... British boats off the coast of Le Havre in Normandy. How far is that from you? I bet that's a long way from you. You could go there.
I think it's very far.
Yeah, and there were 40 French boats surrounded them. Now, what's worrying about this is that the French, really, why are the French always at war with the British? Why? We're supposed to be friends. We're only like a little bit away from each other across that thing called the Channel. Right? And they take exception at everything we do. The British boats were legally fishing outside the French 12-mile limit and doing exactly what they're allowed to do. And the French turned up in 40 boats and had a go at our little flotilla of British boats. I think that's silly. Why don't they just leave us alone? Why don't the French just become friends? Is that because we've sent Mark across to France, do you think?
I think so.
Yeah, do you think they're just haters now? Dear me. Right, anyway, let's move on to the next one, which is quite a shocking story for the people in Britain, actually. And I only don't say that as a joke because it's about electricity prices. But British Gas, right, this is amazing, isn't it? British Gas put electric up. But British Gas are raising the price of gas and electric in Britain. Yet again, it's their Christmas present to us, ladies and gentlemen. They're giving the elderly and the poor in the UK a Christmas present of yet another rise in the price of power. That means that you can't switch on your electric fire as much as you'd like to because it's cold. I can't believe that people in this country, in this green and septic land, are allowed to get away with this by our government, by David Cameron, the man who's spending less than a pound a head on commemorating the war dead of the First World War. Yet the power people are allowed to put the price of gas up yet again. They claim it's only going to go up by about 8%. Which should only put about £100 on top of your bill. But if you're only earning £17,000, £18,000, £19,000, which maybe in Slovakia is a lot of money, but over here it means you're actually on the poverty line. £100 on top of your bill is a lot of dosh. It makes a lot of difference to how you live. And really, if that's the average, if it's only going to put your bill up by an average of £100, other people are going to really suffer. My house in the village of the damned, in the Midlands of this awful place called Britain, right? I spend, because we only have electricity, we don't have any other kind of power, it costs me £40 a week to heat this house in the depths of winter. More sometimes. So how much is my bill going to go up? British Gas made a 23% operating profit last year. And yet they claim that they only make 5p in the pound. That's the power of accountancy, I suppose. And I'll never understand accountancy. I can't do my own accounts, so I'll never understand how you can make 23% profit, operating profit, out of the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of pounds that you take off the British public and only make 5p in the pound. I'm sure it's right. I'm absolutely convinced that they wouldn't make it up. I'm absolutely sure they wouldn't make it up. But how does that work? And if they're only getting 5p in the pound out of a 23% operating profit, maybe they should be looking at how things work within their industry. Maybe they should be looking at how much they pay out to their shareholders. Maybe they should be looking at making things a little bit easier for the British public, the people who need the power of life. And that's what they supply, the power of life. What's it like in Slovakia, Petra? How much does it cost you to like heat a house in Slovakia? How much does electric cost you over there?
I can't tell exactly, but I know it's not cheap. And the same problem is here every year. We get a nice Christmas present saying, oh, from 1st of January, the prices of gas and electricity are going to go up. When we were talking what we're going to talk about on the show, I looked up actually the prices on the internet, and I found out, which was really surprising for me, that my country, Slovakia, is the most expensive country in EU when it comes to electricity.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and we're certainly not third the best in earning money or like the wages part. So I was really surprised. And I read that, I don't know, it doesn't tell me much, but 100 kilowatt hour, is it?
Kilowatt an hour, yeah.
Yeah, it costs 24.8 euros here.
25, that's blinking heck.
Yeah, so
that's an English phrase, sorry.
So I think you are it's actually really expensive.
So it actually costs more in Slovakia.
Yes, and there's no way you can compare wages. So
that's right. Well, let's just have a look at that. So did you notice on the list that you looked at where Britain came on that in that sort of in the score of who pays most for
I'm sure there was the like in that table it showed Britain, but honestly I didn't look it up.
But Britain wasn't higher than Slovakia.
No.
So really you actually pay more for your power according to that table, which is the word I couldn't think of, right, than we do in the UK, and yet your wages are a lot less.
Yeah, if you think average wages in Slovakia is about 700 euros a month. So
which is actually about 500 pounds, isn't it?
550.
And the average wage in Britain, we've just had it announced actually by that wonderful Mr. Cameron, is around about 17,000. Which is what is about what? Well, yeah, it's about £1,500 a month. Actually, you know what? That isn't the average wage. That's the poverty line in Britain. If you're earning around about £1,200 to £1,500 a month in Britain, you're actually considered to be poor.
Well, here it's 300. It's 300 euros. So
yeah.
If you earn less than 300 euros, then yeah, you consider being poor and you need to ask social services for help.
Really? And what social services like over there? Do they help?
Well, they try. I cannot say they don't, but really it's minimum and it's not always easy. And unfortunately, people are struggling financially here a lot.
So things are really tough in Slovakia?
Yes.
Is that since you got the euro, or were things worse?
No, that's in general. It's been like it before, but what can we do?
what is classed as poverty in Slovakia? In Britain, for instance, you are classed as being in poverty. This is the truth, right? If you own a very old car, and your Sky television disc is a bit rusty, and you live in what we class as council houses, those are houses that are your rents off the council, and you don't you have to smoke roll ups, and you can only afford to have a couple of beers in a night. That is what's classed as poverty in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
What's poverty classed like? What's it like in Slovakia?
Well, it's a bit different the way they look at it here. It's really, they look not what you've got, but what income you have and what do you have to pay out of it. It has to leave you something like 70 euros a month per person in a family. And if you've got less than that, then you consider being poor.
So as a family, say, you know, say there are four people in the, does that include children or is that just people who are earning money?
Yes, it includes children as well.
So you need about £200 a month, according to the government, to for a family of four to live on, mm-hmm. after you've paid everything.
After you pay, yeah. But it doesn't mean loans or anything. It only is like rent for a flat and gas and electricity. They don't care about if you've got loans or any other expenses.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's the way it is over here, actually. Yeah, loans and things like that are not taken into consideration. And really, that is a bad thing, too, because part of the economy in Britain is based on, well, everywhere in the world, really, but not so much in Slovakia, I don't think, are based on borrowed money. You know, we borrow in Britain. I am the exception. I don't borrow money. But generally, we borrow money to buy a car. We borrow money to buy a house. We borrow money to go on holiday. We borrow money to buy a television. To all the things that we think are necessary in life, we borrow money over here. And that is a major boost for the economy. And yet those are not taken into consideration. But I think in Slovakia, it is different, isn't it? You don't really live on borrowed money, do you?
They do. Even
do they?
Yes, and I'm so surprised, like, because, you know, when you want to borrow money, they you have to prove what income you have. And then they decide if they're going to give you money or not. And I know people, they don't even work. So how comes they still get loans and they can still buy stuff on credit, you know, that they pay monthly for it? Really sometimes don't understand the way it works.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? So really, I always got the impression that borrowing money, that really the idea in Slovakia, and this is off Eric as well, he's, you know, he often says this on the show, that the actual attitude of Slovaks is that if you don't have the money, you don't get the thing. You don't actually go and use a credit card or something like that.
Oh, it used to be like it. I know my parents, they're like, oh, if I don't have money, I don't buy it. But nowadays, no, people go and they buy loads of stuff on credit. And this is why some of the people, they actually get into trouble because they buy more than they can afford paying back for.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that is the problem with credit, isn't it? I don't know if this is what happens in your country as well, but over here we have what are called payday loans. I know Mark very often talks about these on the show, but it was revealed this week that the one company over here, a payday loan company, was actually charging something in excess of 4 million percent interest on a loan, which to me is incredible. How can that be?
I don't know. I'm just surprised.
Well, yeah, I'm more than surprised. I can't believe it. That to me is just a phenomenal amount of, and yet it is legal. You actually get on television over here, you actually get adverts where they actually say, I think legally they've got to, but they say it boldly in big bold letters on the television that their loans are thousands and thousands of percent. I think that's amazing. And I'm really surprised to hear that actually Slovakia in its own way is going down that same road.
Well, if you think about it, I used to think this way, that if why should I spend all my money? I'd rather buy it on credit and pay it monthly, and I still have that money spare. So this is how people think, and they just don't want to touch their money they saved in a bank, so they rather go and buy stuff on credit.
But it is a false... Now we're doing our consumer issues. but it is a false economy to do that.
Yeah.
Because if you pay out of the money you've got in the bank... This is the old Lady Lee Banks talking now. But if you pay for something out of the money you've got in the bank, and the money you would be giving to the credit card company, you use to put the money back in your bank, then you would actually be saving money.
Yeah, in a way.
No, but that's incontrovertible.
You know, the money you have in the bank, you get interest maybe 4 or 5% per year. But if you pay into the loan company, there might be interest like 15 and more percent per year. So they're charging you more than you are getting in your bank.
Exactly. That's the point.
Yeah, crazy.
It's if you could get 5%, I'll tell you what, I'm coming across to Slovakia. If you could get 5% on a savings in Slovakia, I'm coming over there. We're lucky to get 2.5%.
Well, at the moment it's about 3.5% average, but you have to leave your money there for a year. You cannot touch them.
Yeah, well, it is the same as over here. Listen, in the run up to the end of part one, let's just have a look at why Facebook isn't the UK's friend.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook has been accused. I think this is amazing. Right, Facebook, the world's friend, the organisation that is everybody's friend, has been accused of taking the UK taxpayer for a ride after it was revealed that it pays its employees more on average than it pays in tax in the UK. This was revealed by The Guardian. One of Britain's leading newspapers. It can't spell very well. It's known as the Grawny Ad because it makes errors in spelling all over the place. But is actually a very serious newspaper and does very well. And it says that Facebook has paid just, let me look it up, £195,000 in tax to the UK in 2011. And I tell you what, that contrasts. Facebook pays its staff in Britain £275,000 each, or 90 of them, and only pays the government £195,000 for being allowed to carry on the business here. They say that it's because they are based in Dublin and they get away with all sorts of new tax things. That's it. We've got to go. Be back in a couple of minutes where we're going to have more ranting.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.